Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Court opens New Year with resignations. In the first meeting of the calendar year, the Ector County Commissioner's Court has to fill two vacancies. The first is for Ector County Medical Examiner's Office Chief Investigator Ron Ng, and the second is for Ector County Environmental Enforcement Director Ricky George. These agenda items and others will be heard at 10 a.m. Tuesday at the Ector County Administration Building Annex, located in Room 120 at 1010 East 8th Street in Odessa. George told the Odessa American on Monday morning that he filed his letter of resignation on December 1st and it took effect on December 31st. He said he has been contemplating retirement for a while and believed 30 years in law enforcement was enough. George spent about 13 years at the Odessa Police Department, about 3 years at a small police department around Austin, and the last 13 years for Ector County. I feel really proud to accomplish everything that I did here, George said about being Director of Environmental Enforcement. We created one of the best environmental enforcement units in the state. It was a good accomplishment that I felt good to retire on. George said he was asked by former Ector County Judge Susan Redford to revamp environmental enforcement. George said his department's work over the last decade has helped clean up Ector County. However, he explained one of the biggest problems that exists for environmental enforcement is the amount to pay. The worst part about the unit is that commissioners will never pay for investigators appropriately, George said. They will have a very difficult time recruiting people. Ng has been with the Ector County Medical Examiner's Office since 2018. He previously worked for 25 years with OPD and retired as a lieutenant. Newly sworn in, Ector County Judge Dustin Fawcett said on Monday morning, the court will appoint interim for both of those positions and start the hiring process to fill those positions at a later date. Fawcett said he feels confident the medical examiner's office will continue to run smoothly. He said he also feels confident about the future environmental enforcement. The court will also consider, discuss, and take any necessary action on MHRC plans for N2 of Lot 5 and 6, Block 5, Ranch Acres, Precinct 1, and authorize the county judge to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action on Jerusalem subdivision being a plat of 40-acre tracts out of Section 2, Block 42T25, Precinct 4, and authorize the county judge to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action on West Cliff Green, a subdivision of 4.99 acres of land in Section 13, Block 44, T25, Precinct 1, and authorize the county judge to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to approve the increase in limit and coverage with respect to crime, cyber, faithful performance. Current policy per aforementioned type of coverage was a limit of $500,000 and a retention of $5,000. These figures will increase to $1 million and $10,000 respectively. $10,000 represents 1% of limit of coverage. Faithful performance insurance under Travelers Commercial Crime Coverage, more specifically CRI 7126-0109, government entity, crime endorsement, faithful performance of duty at an annual premium of $584, which represents an increase of $173 from current premium of $41,000 annually. Blanket coverage. Texas Government Code 51.302, more specifically, Chapter 1084, Acts of the 70th Legislature, Regular Session, 1987, Article 715C, Vernon's Texas Civil Statutes, mandates that each district clerk secure insurance to cover the district clerk and any deputy clerks against liabilities incurred through errors or omissions in the performance of official duties. It further stipulates if the policy or other coverage document provides coverage for other county officials, the amount of title policy must be at least $1 million. This increase in limited coverage will satisfy said requirement. Discuss, consider, and take any necessary action to approve repairing a damaged fence and gate during the expansion of Cottonwood Road in Gardendale, Ector County, Texas, Precinct 2, and authorize the county judge, county clerk, and city auditor to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding not renewing the contract with Tyler and purchasing a subscription to CSS, and authorize the county judge to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to approve a line item transfer to general fund, non-department judicial, copier lease 001-220-5284, from court-appointed attorneys, 001-220-5325 for $6,059, and authorize the county judge and county clerk to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding the cancellation of the measurement and verification services from Johnson Controls, including under the performance contract. Make that cancellation retroactive effective November 1st, 2022, and authorize the county judge to sign on all documents associated with this agenda item. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding the Ector County Monthly Treasurer's Reports on October 2022 and November 2022, and authorize the county judge and county commissioners to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. In addition, requesting that the reports be archived with the official minutes of this meeting. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to approve a budget amendment to sales tax fund, Sheriff Motor Vehicle Equipment, 00536055005, from unreserved fund balance, 00533104 $170,266, and authorize the county judge and county clerk to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to approve the accounts payable fund requirements report for January 10, 2023, and review county financial statements and reports. CTE Focus on Workshop Meeting. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will hear a report on career and technical education during a workshop meeting set for 6:30 p.m. today. The gathering will be in the first floor boardroom of the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. The later start is because the board will go to the Odessa City Council meeting first for a Proclamation of School Board Recognition Month. The presentation reviews the programs of study, areas of high demand, the number of graduates from each area of study, and graduation data, among many other points. Supplemental agenda material shows the four-year graduation rate is 29% higher than all other students for 2020 graduates, 95% graduation rate compared to 66%. Students from economically disadvantaged families graduated at a 38.9% higher rate in 2022. Welding, office, auto, and culinary had some of the highest rates of enrollment in fall 2022. In fall 2021-22, 978 industry-based certifications were earned, up from 602 in 2020-21, the material said. The material said an 8th grade high school program fair is planned for 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. January 24th at the Odessa College Sports Center 9. Executive Director of CTE, Ryan Merritt, said the district's 6 middle schools will rotate throughout that 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. window. This is the first time they have had the event at a centralized location, and they are meeting with OC today to discuss their faculty participation. It's also a chance for students to see Odessa College. Quick hits, story time. The Ector County Library Children's Department has scheduled story time, family and basement activity, craft, at 10 a.m. January 11th at the library, 3rd floor, 321 West 5th Street. This week's craft is to create your own family portrait. Lunch and lecture. The Petroleum Museum, 1500 I-20 Midland, has scheduled a lunch and lecture. R. Sean Rainey, you can't take it with you, but someone has to get it. From 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. January 10th, visit tinyurl.com/4kv6jv85. Business After Hours. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce Business After Hours will be hosted by Medical Center Health System from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. January 10th at 8050 East Highway 191. Sandhills Stock Show and Rodeo. The Sandhills Stock Show and Rodeo will take place through January 14th at 218 West 46th Street. There will be rodeo performances, roping, a livestock show, and more. Visit sandhillsssr.com. PBAF Scholarships. Permian Basin Area Foundation is pleased to announce the opening of the 2024 scholarship cycle. Students and counselors may view eligibility and selection criteria for scholarships on the PBAF website, www.pbaf.org. The application opened January 1st and the deadline is March 31st. The foundation is looking forward to connecting Permian Basin students with local scholarship opportunities. Sherry Hiding, education officer, said, applicants are required to complete only one online application, which will then place them in a pool of scholarships for which they may qualify. However, it will be very important to read all instructions because there are scholarships with unique criteria and may require a second essay. Permian Basin Area Foundation awarded more than $1 million in scholarships to area students during the last academic year. To learn more about scholarships, grants, and the philanthropic work of donors partnering with Permian Basin Area Foundation, see www.pbaf.org or call 432-617-3213. Bynum to host guest speaker. Bynum School will host From Disability to Possibility, The Power of Inclusive Classrooms, presented by Patrick Swartz, professor, author, and motivational speaker, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., February 17th. The event will be at the Bynum School, 5100 Avalon Drive in Midland. Registration is at 8:30 a.m. and the session is 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. He will illustrate how to improve education and human services by using the real-life stories of individuals with possibilities from womb to tomb. In addition to providing compelling examples, Swartz will inspire participants to develop inventive and creative ways to support one another in and out of the classroom, the news release said. The cost is $75 per person and $25 for Bynum School parents. 4 board spots up for election. There will be 4 spots up for election on the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees for the May 6th election. Early voting will run April 24th through May 2nd. Positions up for election are 1, 3, 6, and 7. Position 1 is held by Carol Gregg, Vice President. Donna Smith, Position 3. Tammy Hawkins, Position 6, and Position 7, Dennis Jones, who was appointed in May 2022. The physical address to file is 802 North Sam Houston Avenue, and hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. The mailing address is P.O. Box 3912, Odessa, Texas, 79760-3912. Cotton named interim OFR fire chief. On the heels of Fire Chief John Alvarez's retirement, the City of Odessa announced via press release the role of interim fire chief will be filled by current battalion chief Jason Cotton until a permanent replacement is identified. Cotton has more than 25 years of service with Odessa Fire Rescue. The appointment is effective immediately. Teen detained in murder case. Ector County Court at Law Judge Brooks Hendricks has ordered a 16-year-old murder defendant to remain in the Ector County Youth Center for now, said Ken Mann, Ector County Juvenile Probation Director. Juveniles arrested and taken into custody are entitled to detention hearings every 10 days in Texas. Monday was the first detention hearing for the teenager, who was arrested last week in El Paso in connection with the December 27th death of Maurice Rogers, 36. According to Odessa Police Department records, Harvey Gutierrez, 31, told detectives Rogers' sons attempted to rob him and he, the teenager, and Ashton Isaiah Munoz, 18, conspired to shoot up one of the son's cars, but Rogers ended up being shot instead. Officers went to check on Rogers December 28th when he didn't show up at work, and they found his body inside his East 36th Street home. Gutierrez was arrested on suspicion of first-degree felony charge of murder December 29th and was released from the Ector County Jail January 2nd after posting a $100,000 surety bond. Munoz, who was also arrested in El Paso, is now in the Ector County Jail on a $200,000 surety bond. Teen says shooting motivated by robbery. A witness to Friday night's fatal shooting of a 17-year-old Odessa boy told authorities the incident stemmed from an attempted robbery. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, Zachary Brown, who turned 17 just last month, told detectives he picked up Brian Sanchez, 17, and Omar Elijah Gutierrez Friday night around 5:30 p.m., and they went to the home of Elijah's brother, Omar Matthew Gutierrez, in the 10,000 block of Cielo Alto around 8:45 p.m., When they got to the house, Brown said Elijah Gutierrez got out of the car and Omar Gutierrez and another teenager, both 17, began walking toward the vehicle, according to the report. Brown told detectives Omar Gutierrez he wanted all of his items, stuck a pistol in the window, and pointed it at him, the report stated. Brown said he started to give him his watch, but then drove away. Sanchez, who was sitting in the passenger seat, was struck by 3 bullets after Omar Gutierrez opened fire, Brown told authorities. Brown and Sanchez were found in a Ford Escape in the parking lot of a fast food restaurant in the 1700 block of West County Road around 9:15 p.m. Sanchez died after being taken to Medical Center Hospital by emergency personnel. According to the report, Omar Gutierrez came to the sheriff's office and confessed to shooting Sanchez. Omar Gutierrez was arrested on suspicion of capital murder during the commission of a robbery and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He remains in the Ector County Detention Center on surety bonds of $600,000. Blood transfusions don't include transfer of COVID antibodies. Dear Dr. Roach, I recently got a blood transfusion and I've never had the COVID vaccine. Am I going to get those blood clots that vaccinated people got? Anonymous. Answer: there is no evidence of risk to people receiving blood from a donor who received any COVID vaccine. Both the AstraZeneca vaccine and the Janssen vaccine did have a very small number of cases of abnormal blood clots, about 4 cases per million recipients. The much more commonly used mRNA vaccines made by Moderna and Pfizer-BioNTech did not cause any increase in blood clotting. When a blood transfusion is given, the red blood cells are separated from proteins, including any antibodies made by the person who received a vaccine, so a person does not get immunity or the possibility of side effects from a blood transfusion from a vaccinated person. Sometimes the proteins or antibodies are given to a recipient, such as a person who has a very poor immune system, who then gains some short-lived immunity from the antibodies provided by donors. But this is not part of a regular blood transfusion called PAC red blood cells. I strongly recommend getting the vaccine. COVID infection itself is much more likely to cause blood clotting problems than the vaccine ever was.
This is the Dear Abby column. Trauma and its fallout still linger for women. Dear Abby, when I was 13, my 10-year-old cousin led a boy we did not know well into my house. Nobody else was there with us. He told her he wanted to make out with me, and he came upstairs. I confronted him and told him to leave. Later on, I told my mother about the incident, thinking I would be commended for my bravery. Shortly afterward, against my will, she insisted my aunt, a hairstylist, cut my long hair up to my chin. I sobbed during the entire ordeal. My hair had given me confidence about my looks, which I needed because I was large-chested and embarrassed at that age about it. By cutting my hair against my will, my mother made me no longer trust her and think she didn't love me or like me. In later years, I realized she may have done it so I would not attract boys and there would be less risk of my being harmed by a boy like the one who got into our house. If that was the case, she should have sat me down and explained that the boy could have hurt, raped, or even killed me. I am giving her the benefit of the doubt. Recently, my aunt and I had a falling out, and I remembered she was the one who actually did the cutting. I am feeling resentment toward her after all these years. I would like parents to know that cutting a teenager's hair at such a vulnerable stage of their development should not be a punishment. It is disrespectful and oversteps a child's boundaries. Am I correct in my thinking? Signed, Still Remembers in Virginia. Dear Still Remembers, yes, you are. Your mother punished you for being an attractive young girl, which wasn't your fault. What she did was a form of assault, and blaming the victim, and it was outrageous. It's a shame your aunt couldn't have talked some sense into your mother. P.S. You did nothing wrong. Your cousin let the boy into the house, and your cousin should have been lectured about it. Dear Abby, I went through breast cancer a few years ago. My breasts are now two different sizes because of the lumpectomy. I wear a gel prosthetic in my bra to camouflage it, and I'm extremely self-conscious about it. Because of this, I haven't dated in 10 years. How can I get past this fear of rejection? Signed, Out of the Game in Illinois. Dear Out, I wish you had joined a cancer support group right after that lumpectomy. If you had, you would have received emotional support and tips for dating from other women who have had cancer surgery. Countless women have had breast surgery similar to yours. If a potential partner is interested in you as a person, they won't be turned off by the fact that your breasts aren't the same size. Many women are born with asymmetrical breasts and live full, happy lives. A way to get past this fear would be to open up and reach out. Another would be to talk to your doctor or a mental health professional. The only thing you shouldn't do is hide yourself away as though having survived cancer is something to be ashamed of. Dear Abby is written by Abigail Van Buren, also known as Jean Phillips, and was founded by her mother, Pauline Phillips. You can contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.